Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. My co-host, Meghna Chakrabarty, is off this week. If you follow the local music scene in Boston, my next guest really doesn't need an introduction, other than to say he's the closest thing this city has to rock and roll royalty. Peter Wolf has deep, deep roots as a soulful rocker, songwriter, and musical conscience of an era. He's most famous, of course, as the frontman for the Jay Giles Band, but his own solo career has earned huge praise, a big following of its own, and rightfully so. So here's Peter Wolf live in our studio right now with his Sleepless Travelers Band with Lying Low from his latest CD, Midnight Souvenirs.
Yeah. I said life is so mysterious. I get a bit delirious. The earth beneath my feet starts moving so. I said hurricanes and lightning. Lord, it gets so frightening. When the big wind comes, you gotta let it blow. And I'm lying low, looking for another way to go. And I'm lying low, everything's a gamble, don't you know? Yes, I know. Baby, I've been good for you. Chopped a lot of wood for you. Let us not forget the time we had. But I believe in moving on. Just before the love is gone, you gotta take the good times with the bad. And I'm lying low, looking for another way to go. I'm lying low. Everything's a gamble, don't you know? Yes, I know. All right. Come on. Kevin, come day's a brand new day. Out along that long highway, there's always something happening ahead. Now pardon me for this goodbye. I'll let you know the reasons why. There's a lot of world to see and then you're dead. And I'm lying low, looking for another way to go. And I'm lying low. Everything's a gamble, don't you know? All right. Yeah. Hit me.
All right, that's Peter Wolf singing Lying Low. That's from his CD Midnight Souvenirs, which came out in 2010. And Peter and his band will be performing New Year's Eve at the Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield, Maine. And Peter, it is so great to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us here during this great holiday time. And I'd like to introduce
please do this
partial
great band
of the Midnight Travelers. We have on the bass the incomparable. We call him Dr. Jazz. From Providence, Rhode Island, Marty Ballou.
Marty Ballou, welcome.
And also the King of Swing from way up there in the Genesee Mountains, Genesee Ale, Kevin Barry, guitar player extraordinaire.
Good to see you, Kevin.
And our maestro, our musical director, the incomparable, the incredible Duke Levine from the city of Worcester, which was voted 1952 the All-American City by Life magazine.
Damn, Duke Levine,
you know.
Great to have you here.
Now, wasn't there some, Duke, interesting things that happened in Worcester
Well, birth control pill was invented there.
No kidding.
Yes. And the smiley face.
And the smiley face.
I didn't know.
And not with us today because we're doing an acoustic thing is Tom Airy on drums.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, great Tom West on the keyboards.
Tom West, who tried to teach me piano once upon a time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a fruitless effort, but he will ever be in my debt, and I'll be... consider him a close friend because of that.
Well, don't worry about it. I'm still on chopsticks. So,
tell me about these guys, though, because one of the things, Peter, that I've always loved about your music, post Giles, you play with you find such great players to play with.
Well, thank you. I'm a great believer in collaboration, and I think if you look at films or Broadway plays or musicals, it's always the collective part. And to me, when we get into the studio, I might come up with a song, but it's when you hand it over to these talented artists and they just throw in something and they add their own unique perspective to it, it turns into something else. And that's what I find exciting about making records or performing live, that it all changes and it all becomes better. And it's the collaborative issue that happens.
And in this room, though, you've got people with great backgrounds in jazz and R&B and in country. I mean, is it ever a challenge sort of corralling all that talent that comes from so many different directions?
Well, this is what I call the A-team. Every city has a certain great bunch of musicians that play together, and these gentlemen have been working for many years together with me and throughout Boston with a lot of great singers and songwriters and doing a lot of projects, so I'm very honored to have them. When we gather, it's sort of a brotherhood. We sort of get together and spend the midnight hour talking, yakking, and sometimes going way into the wee hours of the morning and staying up for a couple of days and just doing nothing but picking and playing and singing and doing what musicians do on the other side of midnight.
That's why, hence the name Sleepless Travelers.
Yes, right. Hence the name Sleepless Travelers. And we don't need caffeine to keep us going.
Peter, you've...
Adderall, no, we don't even need that.
Not even the Adderall. Glad to hear it. You've made it a point to expose yourself to all kinds of music. You frequented the Birdland Jazz Club as a teenager. You regularly went to the Apollo Theater to hear soul music. You've hitchhiked around the country to hear folk music of all kinds. I mean, when I think of you, I think of not only a great musician, singer, songwriter, but someone who just immerses themselves deeply into this art.
Well, what got me into it, I started out as a painter. I was very dedicated. What brought me to Boston was I never really quite finished high school. So I spent a lot of time hitchhiking around, visiting different universities, pretending I was an art student. So I'd show up at the University of Chicago, find out where the art building was, and just start painting until they kicked me out. And I'd move to the University of Wisconsin and do the same. I ended up here at Brandeis. They had a great art building, no arts teachers or anything, so I was there for a while. But then I ended up getting a scholarship at the Boston Museum School of Fine Arts. And I was studying there for a while. But music, I always grew up loving music. Mm. And the first time I heard Little Richard, that was it. And then when Elvis came along, it just sealed the deal. And the reason I got into music was a lot of guys get into music so they can meet gals or it's a social thing. I got into music so I can meet musicians and being able to play with different musicians. And in that course of time, I got to meet people like Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and Junior Wells and B.B. King and some of the great R&B greats, Wilson Pickett, Solomon Burke, and then, of course, the Rolling Stones and U2 and all sorts of different people. So they all have their own story and different perspectives. So that's what keeps me going.
I want to talk to you about some of these great musicians that you mixed with and met, especially in the early days in Cambridge. But first, I'd love it if you played us another song. And speaking of sort of inspiration from other artists, I think this next song you're doing has a bit of a backstory to it.
Well, yes, this is really a song dedicated to my dear friend who's no longer with us, unfortunately, Tim Mayer, who I know you knew, Anthony.
I did.
And Tim was a great playwright, poet. He did a lot of work at the Agassiz Theater and Tommy Lee Jones, and there was a whole lot of people that he brought into the acting fold. And then he went down to the National Theater in Washington, and he was up here, and he was kind of a double-fisted, another sleepless traveler, shall we say.
Well put.
And Tim formed this thing called the Wednesday Night Club, where at the Copley Plaza Hotel back then, they had the Oak Room. And every Wednesday, we would all take cabs and have a little dinner and then sit at the bar till all hours. Dave McKenna, the great jazz piano player, would be playing. And we had a great collection of people like the Man of Steel, Ron Della Chiesa, who was the voice of the Boston Symphony. And every Wednesday we'd meet. And then we'd keep on drinking. They'd close the doors and we'd stay to the wee hours of the morning. And then they would feed us. And there was one of the gentlemen in the Wednesday night club had a limo company. So he would get his limos out and we'd drive us all home. Next day I get a knock on the door from Tim Mayer because we were all kind of hungover and he was looking for some of my hangover cures, which I won't get into here. So this song is really going out to him and those great, great times that we used to have. And it's when time seemed to have stood still and where you could hear the chimes of midnight every Wednesday night at the Wednesday Night Club. So this is going out to all the official members of the Wednesday Night Club. Think more fun for a while.
Fun for a while.
Out with my freeway friends, running red lights. We went the distance then, and those extra miles. We were not money men, but we sure knew how to spend. I miss it now and then. It was fun for a while. Winking a wicked eye at all the women, picking up anything that returned our smile. Winking that wicked eye, drinking that river dry, thinking we'd never die. It was fun for a while.
So great. That's Peter Wolf with a new song, Fun for a While. He's joined by Marty Ballou on upright bass, Duke Levine on guitar, and Kevin Barry on pedal steel guitar. Nice work, gentlemen. Peter, that was so, so lovely. You know, you mentioned Tim Mayer, and I just have to say a couple of things. It's so nice to be reminded of him in the context of such a lovely, lovely song. You mentioned the Oak Room and Dave McKenna. It was Tim Mayer who brought me to the Oak Room for the first time to hear Dave McKenna. And too much talent there and gone too soon.
For people who don't know, Dave McKenna was a great pianist.
Yeah.
And he really had, many people, Bennett, Artie Shore, a lot of people consider him one of the greats.
Mm.
And Marty, where was he originally from?
I believe he was from Woonsocket, Pete. Woonsocket, okay. Rhode Island.
Right. Hmm. And he was one of our great jewels. Maggie Scott and the whole crew. So,
Speaking of these great relationships that you've formed and connections you've made with other musicians and artists, you mentioned before that song, you know, your connections with these great old blues players, folks like Muddy Waters at Club 47. I'd love to hear a little bit about that time and how you met those guys and what they meant to you.
Well, I really idolized. I was a great fan. Muddy Waters to me was like meeting Buddha. And I remember when he first got up to the Club 47, I was waiting all afternoon for him to arrive just to get a look at him. And this big, long Cadillac pulled up, and there he was. Muddy Waters, to me, it was like meeting Clark Gable. It was beyond the beyond. And he stepped out, and I ran up to him and said, "Oh, Mr. Waters, it's such a pleasure to meet you." And apparently he thought I worked for the club. He said, I said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" He said, "Sure, take these amps and carry them in the club." And there was a coffee house. They weren't quite used to being in a coffee house because they were used to playing bars. And when they found out I had an apartment down the street, well, Muddy and his gang, and they all ended up at my apartment and turned it into their sort of clubhouse between sets.
Hmm.
And then he told Howlin' Wolf, and Howlin' Wolf told Junior Wells, and Junior Wells told Buddy Guy. And so I had a lot of the great blues players play. And it was quite exciting working with these characters and bringing somebody like Howlin' Wolf at 3 o'clock in the morning into a Hayes Bickford at Harvard Square while all these students were studying. And there's this one great story. There was a student at Harvard, and he was studying, and Howlin' Wolf, who was this great, big, 6'5" blues player, and talk with a real, real husky voice. And he went to the student and said, "What you studying?" And he said, "I'm studying agriculture, sir." And he goes, "Agriculture?" He goes, "I know everything there is about planting and crop and cotton and taking the mule and working in the hot sun till your back was about to break and sitting out there all day and all night getting a mule." He said, "Son, what the hell are you studying agriculture for?" And so,
fantastic. Peter, these stories, they're so great. It makes me, do I understand that you've got an autobiography in the works? Because stories would be obviously such rich components of the Peter Wolfe story.
Well, I've been asked to do it, and I am doing one, but it's going to be from a fan's perspective, and it's just stories of, you know, things like meeting Sly Stone and being caught in a hallway while Sly Stone was practicing his bullwhip, and while Sly Stone was having a meeting with all the corporate members of Columbia Records in the bathroom of the record plant because he believed that that's where they belonged. He might have been right, too. And sort of crazy nights in Boston with Tennessee Williams while he was in a new play up here and having lunch with Alfred Hitchcock, things like that. So it's just people that I got to meet along the way.
Well, and it's quite a collection. It'll be a great collection of stories when that comes out. I look forward to it. Let's hear another song, if we can. What are you going to do for us?
Well, next? This is a song I learned, you know, from the my grandmother taught me this song from the high hills where I came from, the old sort of like the Appalachian Hills of the Bronx. And
I don't know that part of the Bronx.
Well, you know, the Bronx can get kind of hilly. There's the Southern Bronx. There's the East Bronx, you know, where Dion and Stanley Kubrick came from. But this was the high hills. And she taught it to me, my grandmother. She did it the old-fashioned way. And she learned it from the Child's Book of Ballads that was down in Harvard. It was a collection of Appalachian ballads. This is ballad 243. Isn't that right, Marty?
And, exactly right, 243.
Okay, and this is, you might recognize it, this is our spin on it. So, Duke, if you want to, let's kick it in.
One,
fellas.
Two, three, four.
Oh. loves him, and he loves somebody else, you just can't win. And so it goes till the day you die. This thing they call love is gonna make you cry. I had the blues, the reds and the pinks. One thing for sure, love stinks. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. And this two by two, side by side, love's gonna find you. Yes, it is. You just can't hide. You'll hear it call, man, your heart will fall. Then love will fly. Goodbye, that's all. I don't care what any Casanova thinks. All I can say is love stinks. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. All right, Duke, let me hang. I've been through diamonds, I've been through minks, man, I've been through it all. Love stinks. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. Love stinks. Yeah, yeah. All right. That's some high Bronx Mountain music.
I was going to say, from the Appalachian Hills of the South Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, that was Peter Wolf
deep
doing...
Deep South Bronx.
Deep South Bronx, doing a great rendition of Love Stinks. Marty
Love Stinks, I might say Love Stinks, but we all crave the smell.
So, Peter, that was a great bluegrass rendition of a Jay Giles original. What made you want to reimagine that song in that way?
Well, it was just we were sitting on one of our nocturnal evenings of sitting around smoking cigars and having some corn bourbon and green tea. We were just decided one day it just came out. So there it was. If it's in you, it's got to come out. That's what rock and roll is all about, doing the tune and getting right through. If it's in you, mama luba luba.
I want to ask, is your idea, you know, it just seems like the musicians who you talk about and reference and adored, they put on a great show. But I'm just wondering where you think that's going in this day, increasingly digital world where music can be spread across continents within seconds. How crucial is the live show still?
Well, that's a good point. You know, I think it's actually becoming even more important because I think people see things so much on YouTube, and which is a curse and a blessing at the same time. But I think it's the live experience that many people are really gravitating to. And nothing can quite equal it. Like you mentioned, when I was at Birdland, I was a very young kid, and Birdland was the great mecca of jazz named after Charlie Parker. And I was maybe 15, and they had a milk gallery. So I sat in the side, and I was accompanied by an adult at that time who had to be 18 years old. And so I went to see Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers with the great Bobby Timmons on piano, Lee Morgan on trumpet. And I really didn't know how great these musicians were, but I felt it. And then Art Blakey called up a couple of guests, Cannonball Adderley and his brother Nat. And then they called up the Queen. They said, the Queen's in the house. And this woman in a fur coat and a blonde wig came on stage. And she started singing the most dirtiest, raunchiest blues songs I ever heard. I couldn't believe it. And then, you know, this was something else, and it was Dinah Washington. And, you know, at 15 years old, it just kind of blew my mind. Mm. And so it was that live experience. If I heard Dinah Washington on record, I don't think it would have ever affected me. And she's, because of that experience, has remained one of my favorite artists. And seeing someone like James Brown on stage at the Apollo was something that couldn't be equal. And even seeing Sly Stone do his thing, or, you know, going to see Bob Dylan. I remember the night he just finished writing Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, and I was at a Gaslight Cafe, and he came in about 2 o'clock in the morning and put out all these loose leaf papers in front of him, and Dave Van Ronk and tuned his guitar, and when he got through that song, I mean, everybody in the room knew that history changed, but it was that live experience of hearing it that's so compelling. And I think that there are, to do a live show, to perform live, requires another kind of artistry that's part of the musicianship.
Mm.
And I think all the artists that I admire are ones that really project something live. And it's also seeing a singer and the song when they connect together, and you find it credible.
Well, Peter, few people do it as well as you, but going from live to recorded, I've got to say, you've put out, we could talk about a bunch of your solo CDs, but the last two have been real gems, Midnight Souvenirs and before that, Sleepless, which remains one of my all-time favorites of the CDs that you've done. But speaking of that, what's next? I hear there's a live something in the making?
I had the honor of recording those albums with these gentlemen right in this room, and we've started recording a live album. We've done some at the Wilbur and the Somerville Theater, and we're going to do some more and putting it together, because some of these songs take on a different meaning live. And I've always, throughout the Giles Band, things like Full House and Blow Your Face Out and Repute of the Buter and all that stuff comes out live. It doesn't quite come out in the studio, so there's a different perspective to it.
Well, speaking of, sort of the post-Giles world and the great work you've done since then, has your idea of what it means to perform live changed? I mean, because you perform frequently in much more intimate settings, smaller settings. I mean, does that change the way you think about performing live?
No. I really enjoy the intimate settings. The arenas are one thing. The intimate settings are a different kind of challenge. But rock and roll started in intimate settings. I saw Muddy Waters in an intimate setting. I saw John Coltrane in intimate settings. And so most rock and roll did start out in intimate settings. So it's something I really pretty comfortable with.
Well, Peter Wolf, Marty Ballou, Duke Levine, Kevin Barry, what a pleasure to have all of you guys here today. Thank you so much. You're all playing in Maine on New Year's Eve, and I lost the notes in front of me. Who's got the details on that? Where are you playing?
We're up in, tell them, Duke.
Stone Mountain Arts Center.
Stone Mountain Arts Center in Brownfield, Maine. Sounds like a great New Year's Eve party.
Yes, we'll be down in New York at the City Cafe. You can check peterwolf.com. It keeps you all up. I think,
22 and 23 February.
There you go. And I think first night sold out, so the second night there's still some tickets available. But I want to thank you, Anthony, for bringing us in. And also I'd like to thank you on behalf of the many, many musicians and different clubs for you and your show supporting a lot of the different artists here in town.
Well, right back at you. You guys make this show such an important part of what we do, so we're really grateful to have you in here.
A little ripple for Anthony here. All right.
So can you play us out? We've got a couple minutes to go. We'd love to have you play us out. Peter Wolf,
Boston. But first I might have to say, I might tell our listeners that we first met, you were taken by the great playwright William Alfred.
That's right.
To the Boston Garden, and your first rock and roll show was?
The J. Giles Band.
There you go.
Live great at the Boston Garden.
14 years old, little whippersnapper. We had to hit him on the head.
I was actually a freshman in college, but it's okay.
Well, hey, artistic license, my friend. All right, yeah, man. There you go. Thank you so much. And I'd like to wish everybody listen to a great, happy, healthy New Year.
Yeah. Same to you, Peter. Great to have you in.
Let's go home, baby. It's time to turn in. We lie down together. Are you thinking of him? Some things about love that never lets go. There's some things you don't want to know.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
To make you feel right, there's some things about love that never lets go. There's some things you don't want to know. There's some things we never should say. It's not worth the price that we pay. things about us we never should tell. The heart we have in us is deep as a well. Some things about love that never let go. There's some things you don't want to know. All right, Duke, let me hear you. Some things about us, man, we never should tell. The hearts we have in us, as deep as a well. Some things about love that never lets go. Some things you don't want to know. Some things about love that never lets go. Some things you don't want to know. All right, Kevin, come on, walk it out.